Welcome to Conversations at Keston Law. Hi, my name is Joan Keston. I'm the founding attorney at J.A. Keston Law, PLLC. Our firm focuses on the practice of elder law, estate planning, and asset protection. I have here with me today Cindy Clark, who is my office manager, Brandy Cox, who is my paralegal, and Sissy Weisbrook, who is my director of marketing. We started this podcast after we had held some discussions, informal discussions, at senior centers in the area, and felt that there was a lot of valuable conversation and questions and misconceptions. So we started this podcast to address some of the issues that we all face. We may be relaying and getting information from clients, from our friends, from our neighbors, but we're trying to bring to the table things that we hope you're aware of. This is not meant to be a formal lecture. We do have more resources on our website, which is www.kestonlaw.com, and there you have some videos and some more formal type of information. So without further comment, we'll start this podcast today.
I get a lot of phone calls asking me what the difference between the will and the general power of attorney are. Like, a lot of people mistake that you only need one or the other. Is that true?
No, you need them all. A will only comes into play once you pass away. It has no control or say about anything during your life. So you can change your will up to the day you die. Once you die, it comes into play. A power of attorney is the opposite. It only has effect while you're living. The minute you pass away, it's over. So there is no overlap here.
So, okay, so the power of attorney is while you're living. What does that count? And you said powers of attorney. Are there different kinds?
And again, this may vary by state, what they're called and how they're handled. In North Carolina, your general power of attorney or your general durable power of attorney are where you're indicating an agent to make your decisions regarding your financial affairs and your legal affairs while you're living. If it's a general durable power of attorney, it comes into play the minute it is signed, and it stays in play even if you become incapacitated. That's a critical distinction. It just an even flow. There's no requirement of determination of incapacity, and I think that's critical for older people. Oftentimes, folks resist being declared incompetent, and I can concord with that, agree with that 100%. Also, when people age, they stop wanting to do things and they're still competent. So general durable power of attorney covers that. It's the most critical document in the whole spectrum of planning here. We've had folks, clients who have dementia, and so we can't redo the document because they're no longer capable of redoing a document. And if the document's not inclusive enough or strong enough, I'm limited in the planning I can do for government benefits. That's the critical document for planning, for crisis. It's a starting point.
Does that cover healthcare issues?
No, your healthcare power of attorney is the one where you sign and the person you indicate as agent will make your healthcare decisions, but here it's only when you can't make them yourself or communicate them. So okay. There's a distinction. You can choose the same people for both or not. Depends on what you want to do.
When my mother moved down here, you did her documents. So you did a general durable power of attorney, and then you did a healthcare power of attorney. And I'm the person that makes those decisions now for her, correct?
Okay. Well, if that's what your document says, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. It was me and it was my sister Missy. Right. Okay.
And we also did a living will for your mom. And this is, again, this is one where if you do not want to receive artificial life support, then you want this document. It's what people call pulling the plug kind of thing. That's the document that authorizes your health care providers to not have you on artificial life support.
Right, we did that.
Right, it's called an advance directive for a natural death. The term used often is living will. So we did that, and we did a HIPAA release form. That's the authorization for release of medical information. Very similar. It's based on federal law here. The other documents are on state North Carolina law. But the HIPAA is based on federal law. And it's, again, if you, when you go to the doctor's office, you sign a HIPAA release. If you were to be in the hospital and have no such form on file, they wouldn't release your information even to your healthcare agents. So it's also part of your package.
Okay, so, and then I also had to do, oh, I'm sorry, Cindy. I have one quick question. I also had to do a DNR at the nursing home, and that's different.
That's very different. That's nothing that a lawyer can do. DNR stands for do not resuscitate. It's something that only a doctor can do. And I don't know the protocols of when and how they do that.
Oh, okay.
Or why they
do that.
That
was the question I was going to ask.
Okay. And a way that I describe that, or the difference between the advance directive and the DNR to my family when my grandmother was in her last days, is you think about the actual wording of it. A do not resuscitate means that you've already basically gone out. You've already stopped breathing. Your brain activity may have already ceased. Your heart may not be pumping anymore. So resuscitate means to bring that back.
Okay.
That advanced directive, on the other hand, you're still alive, but you might be kept alive in a manner that you don't want to be. A lot of people look at their dignity in this time of life and death. And if you don't want to be kept on artificial life support, say, for example, you've gone into a coma and the only thing that's really working is your heart. Your brain functioning is not there. You may not even be able to breathe on your own. And a lot of people think that that's, frankly, no way to live. And that's up to personal preference, of course. But that's really the difference as to, do I keep you alive in this state with the advanced directive? Or do we bring you back to life with, or not with the DNR?
And normally when an advanced directive is coming or living will is coming into play, you're in a chronic state. And a resuscitation isn't going to do anything.
Right, because you don't want to have that DNR when you're 20 right. and you've been in an accident. Right. And
because you want to be whatever right, temps you bring you back. Because you're still a strong, vibrant person.
Right.
And again, that's the protocol. I actually should talk to a doctor someday and understand the protocol of when they do a DNR. I don't know what that is. But I think it's when you're in such a fragile state that it doesn't make sense to come back, I guess. I don't know that. But the living will clearly is your end of life, more of an end of life document.
Well, back to the general durable power of attorney. So, you know, if a person is not cognizant enough to make a change, and say the person they had on their general durable power of attorney is either dead or incapacitated themselves, what's their next? I mean, what can they do?
Well, some of it depends on how that power is written. Oftentimes, you could have a document where the last person can indicate someone. So it really depends on how it's written and what the particular statute says. One thing you do want to have is that power, because if you don't, then you might be in a guardianship situation, which means the county where you live is getting involved in either appointing somebody. It could be someone you'd like, it could be maybe not. And then you're reporting to the county every year on the financial things you've done for that person and the healthcare decisions you've done. So that's what you're always is the resource that is by statute is guardianship.
And that's probably why you should look at those documents.
Right. You don't want guardianship. We may need guardianship at some point to override a healthcare power of attorney or enforce the person because they're being difficult to manage, and you may enforce a guardianship for those reasons, but generally you want to have the powers of attorney.
And can you have more than one on there?
More than one person?
Person
you
on,
can.
Yeah.
It can be alternates. You can have them together. Again, that gets into family dynamics. Those choices you make, that gets very critical of who you choose. And one thing, these powers should be for someone 18 years. Once you're 18 or older, it doesn't mean mom's making decisions if you're in a coma. Again, you may be forced into a guardianship situation because you didn't have a power of attorney. Or if you're married and you're in a coma, mom's clearly not going to make the fall back. It would be a spouse. So again, these are things that may be more important than a will when you're younger, that you have these powers.
Yeah.
I've had clients come in where they've brought their young adult children, and we've not done wills. We've just done powers of attorney because they were concerned that they could help their kids if something happened, that they were able to make decisions for them.
Yeah, but what happens, and I know we're not going to talk about it now, but I would like to talk about what happens if you don't have anybody to pick as your, what do you call them?
Agent, executor.
Fiduciaries.
Yeah. What do you do?
And that's a question we help clients often in counsel? And it's such an important question. I think we'll do a segment on that, but it's basically dealing with what we call fiduciaries, and those are your agents under your powers of attorney or the executors under your will, things like that. But we'll do that in a whole segment.
Okay, great.
Thanks for listening. I welcome you to visit our website, www.kestinlaw.com. On that website, you will find our schedule for seminars. We do seminars almost on a monthly basis in two locations, where we formally address a lot of the topics we mentioned in this podcast. You also can follow the directions with this podcast. If you have any topics you'd like us to address in a podcast, feel free to write those and send those to us. And if you have any other questions and would like to have any kind of consultation, again, you can either contact us on the website, and our phone number is 910-509-7121. Once again, thanks for listening.